Today we continue in our series that we began last week on Philemon. And this morning we want to focus on love and faith, that our relationships are transformed by the power of the gospel to a point that our relationships should look distinctively different than those relationships of the world. So if you're able, let us stand for the reading of God's word. And as we read Philemon 4 through 7, may I remind ourselves that as we read God's words, it is as if Jesus is speaking directly to us. Philemon 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. The reading of God's word. O Holy Spirit, help us hear, understand, and obey for the glory of the Father. Amen. You may be seated. I had the opportunity to go to basic training a little bit later in life. Most usually go out right after high school. I was 21 at the time, and I joined the Army National Guard, so I actually was going on drill weekends before I went to basic training. And I got some good advice. They said there are two things to remember when you go through basic training. I'm not going to ask. And the two things were this. Turn down the volume of the drill sergeants. They do yell a lot, by the way. I think they only have one volume high. Turn down the volume, and then the second thing, listen to what they're saying. And that was a help for me. It did really help me out. It was an interesting experience. I was married at the time. I thought it'd be one of the oldest ones, but there's actually another gentleman who got in just under the wire, if I recall correctly. He was like 30 years old going through basic training. This morning we're going to see that Paul identifies two things about Philemon I think we can learn from. And in verse 4, Paul writes, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. I think it's neat how God remembers Paul remembers Philemon in his prayers. And he's thanking God for him. I'm hoping and praying that we all are thinking of those in our life that have helped us in our walk, and we're continuing to remember them in our prayers and praying for them, praying for each other in this body. But he's writing to Philemon in particular because this, I remember you, though you, is singular. Even though we noticed last week that the letter was addressed to Philemon, Apophia, and Archippus, and the house church meeting in his home, here he is turning his eyes particularly on Philemon. And he continues in verse 5 saying why he's thankful for Philemon. Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord and for all the saints. Paul is recognizing two things in Philemon. His love and the faith he has. Notice it's towards not just the Lord Jesus, but for all the saints. I see echoes of the two great commandments. Philemon is exemplifying a balanced and healthy spiritual life as a believer. He's having both faith and love. And he's demonstrating that toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. We could define faith as to believe to the extent of complete and true reliance, to believe in, to have confidence in, to have faith in, trust. Hebrews 11:2, the author writes, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If we stop and think about this word faith, we have faith in the Lord Jesus. Because we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he bore God's wrath in our place. You may say, well, we know that's a historical fact, and that's true. He did die on the cross. But as I thought about it, those who were there who actually got to witness it, the weather may have been unique, and there were unique events, such as after his death, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. But there was not a visible picture, nothing physically seen of what the sin of all mankind looked like to lay on Christ. That was not seen by the naked eye. And bearing God's wrath, yes, he suffered a great passion, a great suffering as he was whipped and mocked, and of course, dying on the cross. But something tells me that wrath of God was something heavier than that. And that wasn't seen by the naked eye. And so, as verse 2 says, it's the assurance of things hoped for. We believe that because we've placed our faith in Christ, God will put our name in the book of life, and we will spend eternity with the Lord. That's what we hope for. And the conviction of things not seen. Like I said, we haven't physically seen. We may experience the gift of the Spirit in our life. We read God's word and it comes alive because the Spirit's speaking to us. These things we experience, and yet they're not necessarily seen by the naked eye. So we have this trust and reliance on God. Love, what's love mean? It's to have love for someone or something based on a sincere appreciation and a high regard, a regard that leads to affection. And notice that Philemon had this love and faith towards the Lord Jesus and also to all the saints, not just to the ones he connected with, not to the ones he just agreed with. It was to all the saints. So we're going to take a little bit of a scenic route this morning. I figure we'll be done around 3 o'clock. So I hope you can hang there with me. Of course, it's not going to be 3 o'clock. It's probably more like 2:30. Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew 22, 35 to 40. And here we're familiar with this. Jesus is being tested. And Matthew writes, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So he's being tested. Now, if you ever went to an interview or you had a serious test, usually you know you only give the answer. Okay? You don't go too far along. If you say too much in an interview, you may say something that makes you lose the opportunity at that new job. But what does Jesus do? He not only answers the question, he goes on to say, and Jesus said, he goes on to say, a second is like it. He's adding to it. He's giving a second thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. In doing this, Jesus is linking two things. That our love for God cannot be absence of a lack of love for others. We can't love others appropriately, accurately, unless we have a devotion to God. Jesus has linked these two together. And I think it's easy for us to see this out of these two verses because the word love is used in both verses. But I also want to point out, I believe the faith that Paul writes about Philemon is also present in these two verses. And to try and prove that, I want to turn to Hebrews 11:6, where the author writes, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we see that if we're going to approach God, we need to have that faith because we're assuming God's going to reward those who do seek him. Well, if we didn't have faith, would we have any love toward God? Would we give him any time? I believe that by the definition of Hebrews 11:6, faith is a part of that first commandment, that we trust that God will reward those who seek him and we love him with our whole being. And what we also learn from 1 John is that we only love because God has first loved us. If I would use this definition of love and faith that I shared just a moment ago, we could look at the great commandment in this way. You shall love the Lord your God, having a sincere appreciation and high regard and affection toward him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, believing in him to the extent of having great trust, reliance, and confidence in the Lord your God. I don't think that's unscriptural. And to take this a little bit further, to help us see that faith is a part of that second command, love your neighbor as yourself, I want to spend some time in 1 John 3:11-14. In verse 11, the Apostle John writes, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." The Apostle John in his letters writes in a way that's kind of hard for us to follow. I think we feel comfort in shades of gray. And yet here he comes out and says, whoever does not love abides in death. That's hard to comprehend. He goes on to say in verse 15, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Here we see that Jesus is a model for us. And yes, we are to lay down our lives, but it's not just a literal laying down of our life. I think we understand that. But isn't it interesting? We would say, yes, to lay down your physical life for someone else would be a very difficult thing to do. And yet we can't lay down our own life when someone may have a simple need and we know we have that and could help them. Or I'll be honest with you, there are times I'm reminded to take the garbage out and I'm not so quick to want to do that. But it's our agreement is that's my job in the house. But you know what I'm saying? There are times people make a simple request of us and we're like, no, that's not what I want to do now. But we're supposed to lay down our life. That's an example of laying our life down. And again, John makes it very clear in connecting this laying down of our life to something simple. In verse 17, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And I see here a bit of faith. I'm trusting God. He's already provided for me, and yet he may be using me to help my brother or sister or someone. And if he's provided before, he can provide again, and he may be using me to provide for this person in need. Do you see where faith is coming in when we talk about loving God and loving each other? That's what I see Paul talking about Philemon, that he's giving an example of how we need to have faith and love towards the Lord and to others. Verse 18, John continues, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." Here's an example of the difference between what the world does and what we're called as believers in Jesus Christ, where the gospel should be transforming us in a way in our relationships. For the world would love in word or talk, but do they really act it out? And when it says we need to do this in deed and truth, it's not only the physical action, but from our heart, we should be genuinely loving each other. And you may be saying, well, I can't do that. And you're right. If we're children of Jesus Christ, we've been given the gift of the Spirit of God. So we begin asking the Spirit to help us. How do we turn our hearts around when we're struggling and loving someone is when we pray for them. And I don't mean praying, oh, Lord, change them. No, we pray, Lord, bless them. May they come to know you in a greater way. Lord, help me have a greater heart toward my brother or sister. We begin genuinely looking for the good for that person that we may be struggling with. And again, that's taking faith and trusting God. He's going to accomplish what you're asking. And this truth, like I said, it's from the heart. Verse 19 to 22. John continues, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. He's saying, this is how we know. When we have that genuine love, we're loving out of the truthfulness of our heart and we're acting that out according to God's word, we can reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, there are going to be times when perhaps the Spirit is touching us and our heart's condemning us because we're missing the mark somehow in the relationship. God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. God already knows, but we can turn to him. We shouldn't let our condemnation lead us away from the Lord, but rather back to the Lord for assistance and help. He continues in verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Again, John writes so straightforward, and we like the grays, but he's saying, are our prayers getting answered? He says, if we want our prayers answered, we need to be following his commandments, and one of those is loving each other. That we need to keep his commandments and do what pleases him. I think as we do that, we are gaining more and more of the heart of God as we continue to submit to him. It's a lifelong work. And as we do that, we gain God's heart, and now perhaps our requests change over time. So that when we are asking something, it is within God's purposes and his will, and he answers us because we're being faithful to his word. I'll end with verse 23 of 1 John. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us. Here we see him talking about our faith in the Son of Christ and then our love for one another. Again, these two are joined. Our faith and love for God can only be right if we are having the right faith and love towards our brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, one more verse from 1 John. Whoever keeps his commandments, verse 24, abides in God and God in him, and by this we know he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. Again, John makes it clear, if we're obeying his commands, we're loving each other, we should be seeing this. And we know this because his Spirit that's within those who believe testifies. The point John is making in his first letter here is that we cannot love God without loving each other. And we cannot love our brother or sister in Christ appropriately without loving God. Jesus tied these two together, as we saw in Matthew. And John is continuing that connection here. To be in right relationship with God requires us to be in right relationship with our brethren and vice versa. Gee, I think we're going to be done much sooner than 2:30. I hope you don't mind. I know this is a long route, but I wanted to demonstrate how we see both love and faith are necessary not only in our relationship with God, but with each other. And in the New Testament, it talks about honor, almost competing with each other and showing each other honor. I believe that the faith that we have towards each other is not only sharing the faith of God, we're going to see that in a moment, but it's also looking for the best in each other, not the worst. I have faith that God is working in you, and I'm having the faith that God's working in me. If I would take the second great commandment and using again the definition of love and faith, I would see the second commandment reading like this: love your neighbor, having a sincere appreciation and high regard with affection towards your neighbor as you do yourself, believing in your neighbor, trusting, relying on your neighbor, and having confidence in your neighbor as you do yourself. Let me read that again. I know it's wordy. Love your neighbor, having sincere appreciation and high regard with affection towards your neighbor as you do yourself, believing in your neighbor, trusting, relying on your neighbor, and having confidence in your neighbor as you do yourself. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, I don't have much confidence in myself. But let me turn this around a little bit. Do we get hurt a little bit if someone tells us that they don't trust us or they don't rely on us? And yet, isn't that what we desire? We would like to think that people could come to us if they're in need and they can rely on us. So I think our desire that others would love us is what God's using in the second commandment to guide our love towards others. Love our neighbor as ourself. So what Paul wrote in Philemon 5, because I hear of your love and your faith toward that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. This is what we need to mimic. We can learn from Philemon. And Paul continues in verse 6 to say, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Think about this. When he talks about sharing, he's talking about a word, a Greek word we may be familiar with, koinonia, the fellowship. It's a broad idea that includes generosity, partnership, and fellowship. It's a common faith. But notice what he's saying. When we share our faith, he's telling Philemon, when you share your faith, that you may become effective for the full knowledge, that is having a lot of knowledge, obviously, of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Because of the work of the Spirit, because of God's work in our life, he has good within us, but it's not for our good, it's not for our sake, it's for the sake of Christ. That's why we should be sharing our faith, living it out. It's to benefit others, but in that sharing our faith, we're getting a greater knowledge of what God's doing in and within us for the sake of Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He's talking about Philemon sharing his faith. He goes on to say, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. So sharing our faith helps us see, get a full knowledge of what good God has in us for the sake of Christ. We're now seeing what love does. For Paul, he received joy and comfort. And he goes on to say, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. When we have genuine love and acting out in God's love working through us, we are bringing refreshment to others. We're easing their pain, their burden. Philemon has been actively involved in ministering to other Christians in a way that has been profoundly encouraging to them and also to Paul. It's a hard thing, isn't it? Faith and love towards Lord Jesus and to all the saints. John gives us a little encouragement in his letter. He says, we love because he, that is God, loved us first. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen and cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. He's just nailing of what we've been talking about. Let us be thinking about those in our life who may be like a Philemon to help us understand how we can live a life that is of love and faith. A gospel-transformed life is going to have love and faith. And we need to recognize if Jesus is in our life, he's transforming every area of our life. The gospel is not just about a life that's right before God and having a relationship and getting to heaven. It's about how we are going to live here and now. It should be affecting every area of our life. And here in our relationships, as Paul says about Philemon, we should be showing faith and love, not only towards the Lord Jesus, but towards all the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that as we think about these things, you would direct us. Father, there may be things we've done that we need to stop doing. Maybe there's things we haven't been doing that we need to begin doing. I pray that you help us see those things, whether it's praying for our brothers and sisters. Maybe trying to apply more faith, sharing of our faith, that we could understand more fully what you have within us for the sake of Christ, the good things that you have in us. That you would guide us in our demonstrating love, that it would be from a pure heart, trying to be faithful to your command. And that as by your Spirit guiding us and strengthening us, enabling us, we would be refreshing others with our love, that others would take joy and comfort in seeing such love. Father, you have desired that it's our relationship with each other, our unity as a body of believers, that will draw others to Jesus. Help us in this, Lord, for the glory of your name, for the furthering of your work here in Adams County. And Lord, may we truly, by your Spirit, help us understand these things of bringing faith and love into our relationship with you, O Lord, in a greater measure, and also with each other. We thank you for what you're going to do in the days and weeks to come, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.